Aren't you glad you're a Christian? Amen. All right, I got to take your picture. So, put your masks on. On the count of three, say coronavirus. One, two, three. Coronavirus. All right, let's go ahead and say our memory verse from last week together. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls, and upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Amen. Well, today I want to talk about the gift of mothers, but before we begin, here are some time-honored quotes about mothers that I'm sure you'll find helpful. The hand that rocks the cradle usually is attached to someone who isn't getting enough sleep. Mothers are guinea pigs in a scientific experiment to show that sleep is not necessary to human life. The advice your daughter rejected is now being given by her to your granddaughter. You don't really understand human nature unless you know why a child on a merry-go-round will wave at his mother every time around and why his mother will always wave back. A suburban mother's role is to deliver children obstetrically once and by car forever after. Any mother could perform the jobs of several air traffic controllers with ease. Mothers of teenagers know why some animals eat their young. Mothers know there are three ways to get something done. Hire someone to do it yourself, or forbid your kids to do it. I'd like to be the ideal mother, but I'm too busy raising my kids. Children are a great comfort in your old age, and they help you reach it faster, too. I want my children to have all the things I couldn't afford, then I want to move in with them. Well, for some reason this year, every time I go online, I have been bombarded with these advertisements for Mother's Day mugs, and so I'd like to show you some of them. Here's one with the president. You are a great mom, truly an incredible woman. You've been terrific. Other moms, total disasters. Believe me, everyone agrees. Happy Mother's Day 2020. If at first you don't succeed, try again. Love your second born. Mom, I'm so glad you looked after me better than your plants. Great job, Mom. I turned out awesome. This is a present from a narcissist. Mom, no matter what life throws at you, at least you don't have ugly children. I love how we don't even need to say it out loud that I'm your favorite child. Dear Mom, thanks for putting up with a spoiled, bratty, messy, ungrateful kid like my sister. Love, your favorite. Mom, thanks for overriding Dad's DNA. Anyway, there are quite a few more of those. Well, happy Mother's Day. Now, I know that this is a difficult holiday for those who have recently lost mothers, or those who have lost children, or those who are struggling with infertility. But you need to know that you have a God who loves you and who remembers you. And for the rest of us, we need to be sensitive of that, and we need to be there for them as mothers and children spiritually in this spiritual Christian family. Well, I'm certainly happy to live in a country where we honor mothers. We celebrate Mother's Day to show respect to one of, if not the most influential person in our lives. And yes, for some, their mother wasn't there or wasn't very nice. But for many of us, besides the fact that we were formed in her womb, you know, without mothers, none of us would be here. Well, we've usually spent our most formative years with our mothers, and we have very fond memories and a very close connection to her. Well, here's another Mother's Day mug that shows some of the things that mothers are for us. Hug giver, best friend, cleaner, superhero, tear wiper, teacher, photographer, stylist, brew maker, chef, nurse, taxi driver, ATM. And how many times do we find great men and women who became great because of the influence of a great mother? You ought to look up sometime how many of our presidents have given credit to their mothers. And looking at the Bible, behind Moses was Jochebed. Behind Samuel was Hannah. Behind John the Baptist was Elizabeth. Behind Timothy was Eunice and so forth. And I really believe that saying, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. What our nation is going to be in 20, 30, 40 years, it depends so much on the mothers of today. Now, there are three qualities or characteristics of mothers that really jump out at me that I think we need to honor them for. Gentleness, protection, and guidance. Well, first, for their gentleness and love. Now, I'm sure you've heard it said, he's got a face only a mother could love. It's a put-down, right? But it also says something about mothers. You see, most mothers have great love for their children, and their children feel very special because of it. Well, take a look at the illustration that was used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 by the Apostle Paul. But we prove to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day, so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. And he went on. Now, of all the illustrations in the world that he could have used for gentleness and care, he chose a mother. And I find it interesting in Ephesians 6:4, where Paul said, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not exasperate your children, that they may not lose heart. He only mentioned fathers. Why? Because they're the ones who need that admonition. The mothers are generally the ones who are more gentle. When children get hurt, they usually run to their mother. Why? Because their father will probably just tell them to get back out there and try it again. Their mothers are the ones who will give them the comfort. All right, well, second, for their protection. Now, think about this. What is the worst thing that you can find in the woods? A baby mountain lion or a baby bear, and it's not the baby that you're concerned about. I have been dive-bombed by angry mother birds. I've seen a video of a mother bird pretending to be hurt to lure a predator away from her children. I have even seen a video of a mother rabbit attacking a large snake that was after her babies. The thing is, a human mother is just as protective, if not more so. In 1 Kings 3, we find that episode with King Solomon. It was an example of his wisdom, and I'm sure you remember it. A child had died, and these two different women, they were saying a certain baby was their own, but it was just one, simply the word of one against the other. You know, they didn't have DNA testing yet. Well, let's read here verses 24 through 27. The king said, get me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. The king said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. Then the woman whose child was the living one spoke to the king, for she was deeply stirred over her son and said, oh, my lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him. But the other said, he shall be neither mine nor yours, divide him. Then the king said, give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother. You see, Solomon knew that a mother will do almost anything to protect her child. I also like the episode with Jesus and the Canaanite woman in Matthew 15. Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, "Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us." But he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And that was a term that was sometimes used for the Gentiles, who they don't worship the true God. But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. Now, I think he was obviously testing her faith. But notice her dogged determination, excuse the pun, in behalf of her daughter. She wasn't going to take no for an answer. I'm sometimes amazed at what a mother will go through for her children. And I'm sure you have stories from your own life. I mean, I certainly do. And third, for her guidance. See, they're the ones who teach us the basics of life, and often so much more. As it says of the Proverbs 31 woman, "She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue." Now, there are many different kinds of mothers. Beautiful mothers, and rich mothers, and smart mothers, and talented mothers. But the best kind of mother is a godly mother. Proverbs 31:30. "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." She's not a perfect mother, but she's an intentional mother who is teaching her children about God and trying to direct them to heaven. In 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul wrote Timothy, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." Without Lois and Eunice, there probably wouldn't have been a promising young evangelist, Timothy. See, much of the reason that I'm a preacher is because I had a Lois and a Eunice. In 2 Timothy 3, he said, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." You remember from Ephesians 6:4 that Paul told fathers to bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Why say that to fathers and not to mothers as well? Well, one, because fathers are to be the spiritual leaders in the home. But two, because it's usually the mothers who are doing it. But the fathers, they need to get on board. And they need to get involved as well. See, before school, my mother would often read the Bible to me while I was eating breakfast. And she would make sure that I made it to Bible class and to VBS and things like that. Bethel Barrett Baxter, well-known preacher back in the day, well, he said this in one of his sermons. "One of the greatest blessings of my own life was a childhood guided and supervised by a devout Christian mother. Each afternoon, it was her requirement that I should take an afternoon nap. But rather than an hour of rebellion, it was a favorite hour, because she made it pleasant by telling in her matchless way some story from the Bible. In later years, when I was old enough to read the Bible for myself and to realize what it meant to be taught the message of the Scriptures, I was amazed to discover that there was no major story in the Scriptures that I did not already know." And so, let's thank God for their gentleness, their protection, and their guidance. And let's honor them for that. You see, parental respect, it's definitely a part of God's plan. The fifth of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land in which the Lord your God gives you. Proverbs 6:20. My son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Proverbs 15:20. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Proverbs 30:11 says with a very negative tone, there is a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. And it later talks about the eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother in verse 17. Proverbs 31, it speaks of the woman whose children rise up and bless her. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Not for they are always right, but for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Of course, one very practical way is she tells you to look both ways before crossing the street. We also have the example of Jesus. We can see that Jesus obeyed his mother in Luke 2:51. And that was the episode when he was 12 and they had lost him. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. We also find Matthew 15 and Mark chapter 7, where he rebuked those who would try to get around the law of honoring your father and mother, specifically of taking care of them in their old age. And then he made sure that his mother would be taken care of after he was gone in John 19. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. With all the pain and the agony and the abuse and the sin of the world, 1 Peter 2:24, Jesus was still concerned about his mother. You see, even on the cross, he's teaching us the importance of loving our mothers. Now let's think about this from her perspective. She finally understood what Simeon meant when he held Jesus as a baby and made that prophecy in Luke chapter 2. A sword will pierce even your own soul. There's an old African-American spiritual called Take My Mother Home. I think I heard him say, when he was struggling up the hill, I think I heard him say, "Take my mother home." I think I heard him say, when they were spitting in his face, I think I heard him say, "Take my mother home." I think I heard him say, when they were driving in the nails, I think I heard him say, "Take my mother home." I think I heard him say, when he was giving up the ghost, I think I heard him say, "Please take my mother home." It's my conviction that mothers are a wonderful gift to us from God. So whether or not we had a godly mother, let's love and honor them and make an extra effort on this day. See, I definitely think that we should give them those flowers and those cards and those gifts on Mother's Day, but every day they deserve our honor and our respect. And let's follow the example of Jesus in this. I'd like to finish by reading you something I recently came across. Solomon Rosenberg tells this story from his time in a Nazi concentration camp during World War II. He, his wife, his two sons, and his mother and father were all arrested and relocated to a labor camp. The rules were simple. As long as you can do your work, you are permitted to live. When you become too weak to do your work, then you will be exterminated. The conditions were harsh and inhumane. The prisoners were given little to eat, and the weak among them would begin to waste away until the inevitable day they could no longer work, and they were taken to the gas chambers. Rosenberg watched his mother and father being marched off to their deaths when they became too weak. He knew that his youngest son, David, would be next, because David had always been a frail child. Every evening when Rosenberg came back into their barracks after his hours of labor, he would search for the faces of his family. When he found them, they would huddle together, embrace one another, and thank God for another day of life. But each day, David looked just a little bit more frail, and Solomon always feared the next day would be the day he was taken away. One day, Rosenberg came back and couldn't find his family. He stormed through the barracks in a panic until he finally discovered his oldest son, Joshua, in a corner, huddled, weeping. He said, "Josh, tell me it's not true." Joshua turned and said, "It is true, Papa. Today, David was not strong enough to do his work, so they came for him." "But where is your mother?" asked Mr. Rosenberg. "She is still strong enough to work." "Oh, Papa," he exclaimed. "When they came for David, he was afraid and he was crying. Mama said, 'There is nothing to be afraid of, David.' And she pulled him close and held him. Then she took his hand and went with him so he wouldn't have to be alone." They apparently allowed it. She went into the gas chamber with him so he wouldn't have to be alone when he died. Let's thank God for the gift of mothers.